Like I say, once again, it is a great privilege not to be in God's house this morning. You continue to pray for the service, that God's will be done and not mine. And, every time that it seems that I stand, you figure as long as I've been preaching, you'd quit getting nervous and you'd quit feeling these jitters and things like that. But nevertheless, it is a great privilege to be able to stand and to proclaim the Word of God. But before we get started, here last week before Daniel had went on vacation and stuff, I was playing with the grandkids, and everybody knows Lydia or Julia, and I was playing with her, and I took her foot, and I always pretend like it's a telephone, and I'll put it up, and I'll start talking, and so she'd take her foot, and sometimes she'd say hello and talk to her dad. But that day I picked her foot up, and I said, hello, and I said, I can't hear anything. And she said it needs to be charged. And so she took her finger and stuck it in her foot. And she said it's charged now. I think that today that a lot of us, sometimes as Christians, we need a little charge in our life to charge us up so that we could come and do what God would want us to do. But you just pray this morning over in 2 Samuel chapter 9 in verses 1 through 13. We're not going to read all the scriptures, but it's a thought that God has laid upon our heart. And we'll be kind of looking at salvation just a little bit here this morning, how great God's gift is to mankind. And we look at a man called Mephibosheth. And as we look here in chapter 9 and verse 1, and David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there yet not any in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath set a son which is lame on his feet. So he had been crippled at the age of about 5 years old, and he said he was lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Meshur, of the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And then I want to read verse 8, and it says, and he bowed himself, this was when he had came before David, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such as a dead dog as I am? And so before we get into the message, once again, we want to go to God in prayer. Father, we're just thankful that you have just blessed the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that here this morning that we just get self out of the way. And Lord, that we would just be obedient. And Lord, as we look at this man and we look at how that David had grace and mercy upon his life, Lord, I can put myself in Mephibosheth's life and in his way. And Lord, look and see what you have done for us. And Lord, there's people that are here this morning that's never been saved, never been born again into the family of God. And Lord, this morning I pray that today would be the day that they would accept you as their personal Savior. Thank you for your many blessings. We'd be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But as we begin to look at this story right here, we find that, first of all, that Mephibosheth, and you have to kind of just bear with me, some of these names are kind of just tongue-tied, but nevertheless, he deserved death. Why do you say he deserved death? Well, David was a king, and we can find that he was kindred to King Saul. And according to the times, the times that was going on, that when a king became king, he could go ahead and put to death anybody that was kin to the other king, because he didn't want to have trouble and trials in his life and someone else coming to try to take his kingship away. So this man, Mephibosheth, he deserved death. He could have been put to death. And when I imagine that King David was looking for him, and then he began to think and maybe was afraid, David's going to put me to death. But you see, because of the sins that we committed, we deserve death. Because that I was a sinner, and I find that because of my sins, I deserve to be put to death. But the Lord said, no, Over in Genesis, you can find that we find a plan of salvation. The Bible says that God had killed a lamb there. He had killed an animal, and he had clothed Adam and Eve, and it was the blood that was shed so that they could be clothed. And so we can find that he died upon the old rugged cross that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. So as we begin to look at this man that deserved death, but let's look at what grace done for this man right here and what grace can do for you here this morning if you'll just only accept the love of God. As I said, I believe that God would not have gave me this message if there's not someone here that's lost this morning. I believe that there's someone here this morning that needs to kneel at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I must be born again. The Bible says that you must be born again, what he told Nicodemus. And so as we find Zacchaeus, how that he had climbed a tree and how that the Lord said, let's go to your house. And we find how that he had found the love of God that day. And so we can find here that Mephibosheth found the same thing. And first of all, in verse 3, we can find here that he said he was crippled. He was lame upon his feet. And we find that his condition was caused by another person. His condition was caused by a nursemaid. It said that here that when he was 5 years old, that they had heard that Saul and Jonathan, which was his dad, had been put to death and they had been killed out in the battle. And so we find that here that she had picked this little boy up and she began to flee. And it said that she stumbled and she fell. And because of her, this little boy at 5 years old became lame. And so his condition was because of someone else. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you're lost and undone this morning, and you've never been saved. Your condition is because sin had entered into the face of the earth. Let's look over into Romans chapter 5, and let's look into verse 12, and you continue to pray as we look and as we go through the scriptures here this morning over in Romans chapter 5. And as we look here in verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of the fall of Adam and Eve, because they had sinned against God, we find that we all become sinners, and we all must be born again in order to escape hell. But let's look here in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so as we begin to look here, we begin to find that here that Adam and Eve, how that they had been created and how that they had walked in the garden and they could do anything that they wanted to do. They could have done anything except for to eat the forbidden fruit. And then what happened? We find that Eve and Satan began to tempt her and said, look at this. This looks good. And it says, why don't you just take a bite? Well, God had told us that we're not to. But you see, the devil began to lie to her and said, your eyes will be open. You'll be just great. You'll be fine. God won't do anything. And so she took, and she took a bite, and then she offered it to Adam there, and then he took a bite, and sin entered into the face of the earth. And so we find that because they'd listened and they'd looked at the devil, we find that it says, because of the disobedience of one, we all were made sinners. But because Christ died upon that old rugged cross, it says that we all have the ability to come to the Lord and be saved. As we find Mephibosheth and we look at his life, we're going to see grace, how it entered into his life. But we find because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and as we find that Mephibosheth, he was crippled, he was lame. And you know, I can find that maybe he was very angry. Why can't I walk like normal kids? Why do I miss out on things today? Because I can't walk. And he was maybe very upset. And there's people that are lost here this morning. They got grudges. They got hatred in their heart. But I'm going to tell you, God Almighty can come into that heart. He'll take that hatred away. He'll fill your heart with joy. I can tell you from experience what God has done for me. And you can speak to other people that's been saved and been born again into the family of God, how that here that they have peace and joy because of what God has done. And so as we begin to look here at Mephibosheth, we can find that here He was crippled. You're a sinner today because you choose to be. But you can die and go to hell this morning. And you, if you die and go to hell, it's because you choose the devil. He's the god of this world. And you say, I want to go to hell. And you can walk out of this church doors this morning and you can go out lost. And the Bible says that it's appointed that the man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. And you will face the judgment of God if you die without him. You choose this morning. You have a choice this morning to accept him or you can walk out this door. A long time ago, I was just in an old Baptist country church, and the preacher, he laid the Bible down up on the altar, and he says, I'm going to tell you what. He says, I want everyone to walk around. And he says, if you die tonight, and he says, and you go to hell, he says, you're going to go to hell stepping over the Word of God. And so it's your choice this morning. You can walk out of this church a saved person, or you can walk out of this church being rejoicing in God. So as we find that it was the result of another. But then let's look over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and then we find that he was sought by David. And then David said there in Samuel, and he says, where is this man that I can find him? Where is he? And he says, I'm looking for this man. He was seeking because he wanted to bless this man because of a covenant that he had made with Jonathan a long time ago. He said, I'll not destroy your seed. He said, I'll let it live. And so he made a covenant, and he wanted to bless this man. He wanted to bless him, and he says, I need to find him. Please help me. He says, where is this man? So he asked Ziba. He said, where is this young man that I might bless him? And so he began to seek him out. But then the same as God is doing today to you that are lost here this morning. And let's look over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him, and he will sup with I will sup with him, and he with me. And so, as we begin to see the scriptures here, you continue to pray. But he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, I'm knocking at your heart's door here this morning. If you're here and you're lost this morning, you say, preacher, what about the rest of us? Well, that's been saved. We'll get into how good God's been to us here in just a moment. But he says, I'm knocking at your heart's door. And you know, if you look at your heart, there's a doorknob on the inside of that heart. And the only way that that heart can be opened up is through you as an individual. You have to open it up. There's no doorknob on the outside of your heart. You have to say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I want to be saved. He's looking for you this morning. And the Bible says, what did Jesus say? He says, I come and that to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I'm looking for those today. He said, I'm going out into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in. And so today, if you're here and you've never been born again, he's still knocking on your heart's door. He's looking for you and he's seeking for you. And I'm glad that a long time ago that when he knocked upon my heart's door, that I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I need to be saved by the grace of God. And I accepted him and I opened up my heart's door, and I've never been the same since that he saved me. And I'm thankful for the greatness of God and for his joy and what he has done. So we can find that David began to seek him out. And God is still seeking today. And as a church, we got our church doors open, and we need to help, and we need to be willing to pray for those that are in need. And we too need to say, come to God's house. Come and taste his glory. Come and feel his merciful and how that he loves you here this morning. So he's still knocking. Behold, he's knocking at your door. He's seeking to save that which was lost. And we too must be up and about our Father's business. But then the third thing we want to look at was where that this man was found at. Where he was found is what we want to look at. And then we can find there in 2 Samuel, he said that he was found in the house of Machir, and said that this was the man that he was living with and that he was staying with. And then he said that he was in a little small place called Lodabar. And as we begin to look, this was where this man was found. And we can find that, first of all, that we find that Machir means how that it means to be sold, and how that we too are sold out to sin here this morning if we're not careful. But let's look over in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. 17. As we said, Mesher means sold. Let's look and see what Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 says. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin." And so what he was saying here is that we're a servant. We're slaves to sin here this morning. And so we can find that Mesher means sold. And so today, that a lost person, he is sold out to sin today. And you can look at Abraham. And when God began to call Abraham, where did he call him from? He said, he called Abraham from the land of Ur of Chaldees, which means flames and destruction. Abraham's dad worshiped false gods and done a lot of ungodly things. But God reached down and he says, "I'm calling you, Abraham, and I'm going to take you to the promised land. And I'm going to give you this great, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And I'm going to do great things for you." Hey, hear this today. And that's what God called him. He literally picked him up out of the flames of hell. And I'm thankful today that he done the same. He called me from the place of the world, and he pulled my feet out of the pits of hell, and I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell anymore. And if you're here this morning, you can rejoice if you've been saved, because he's done the same for you. And so we find that we're sold out to sin here this morning. And we can find that this was where that he was found out. The Bible says that we walk according to the lust of the flesh. And that it says that Satan is the god of this world. And he said, "He has blinded your eyes that you might not see." Today you may think the world is great. You may think that it's fine and dandy. But the Bible says that if you continue on in this path, that you will die and go to a place called hell. And then the children of Israel, we find that they too were sold out to sin. We find that they were enslaved and they were having to work real hard, and they begin to cry out to God. And just as today, that if you're lost, you've got to cry out. But the children of Israel was in Egypt, and Egypt is a picture and a type of the world. And then we find that here that Pharaoh was their master, and he worked them to death, and they didn't like what Pharaoh was doing to them. And if you're here and you're lost this morning, you're a slave to this old world. You're a slave to sin. And the thing that you got to do is, like the children of Israel, you got to cry out, "God, help me, deliver me from this misery that I'm in. Just set me free." And I tell you, that's what God done to the children of Israel. And it said that they were enslaved to Pharaoh, but then God heard their cry, and he delivered them out of Egypt. And he can deliver you out of this world today. There's a lot of bad things in this old world. I've seen people that had a lot of things that was wrong with them. I've seen drunkards, and I've seen people that were adulterers and things like that. But I tell you what, I seen an old drunkard just get down on his knees, and he began to cry out because he wasn't afraid of nothing to start with. But he began to kneel to him, and he began to cry out and said, "God, I may be a drunkard, and my life is just in misery today. But Lord, I need you." And I tell you, God came into that drunkard's life, and he changed him. He no longer drunk anymore. But he went to church, and he was excited about living for God. And he done the same for you here this morning. You're excited about living for God, and you can move on for God here this morning. As a church, we got to do some things here this morning, and we must go out into this community. There's people that are dying and going to hell. Where is our vision at here this morning as a church? Are we willing to go to these people that are in need here this morning? And so we find that here, this was a place where he was at. But then we find that Lodabar, what does that mean? It means a place of no pasture. This was where he was found. He had been in a place where he was sold out to sin, and then there's no pasture. And let's look on John chapter 10, and let's look in verse 8 and 9. And you continue to pray as we look here in John chapter 10, in verse 8 and 9. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall come in and out and what and find pasture. We find that Lodabar means a place of no pasture. If you're here and you're lost this morning, you have no place to really call home. You know, the Bible says that if you're lost, you will die and go to a place called hell. But if you've been born again, it says that you can come in and out and find pasture. These people that are lost, they're miserable. How do you know that they're miserable? Because a long time ago, I was lost and undone without God. And I was the most miserable kid that you ever seen. But I tell you, when God came into my heart and when I asked him to save me, I tell you, I was on cloud nine. I didn't have to worry about things anymore because I knew what God had done for my life. I knew what he had done for me. And I tell you, we can find a place of no pasture. There's places today that people are getting in. That's why drug addicts keep trying different drugs. They keep trying to find peace on these drugs. They keep trying to find peace in the bottle. I'm going to tell you, you'll never find peace in that. I tell you, that when I was a kid, that sin had destroyed my mother and father's lives. But I tell you what, God can make everything whole again. And so I tell you, you're out seeking pleasure today. If you want to find happiness, then you come to God. A place where you can have pasture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I tell you, he'll take care of you, and he'll feed you today, and he'll take care of the needs that's in your heart and your life here this morning. Lodabar, a place of no pasture. Aren't you glad today that we can come to a place here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ and have the joy of what God can do for us here this morning? I'm glad that I can feast off the master's table here this morning and find a place to lay my head and not be afraid to die anymore because I know that I have found pasture in the Lord, and I can find happiness and true happiness in him. And then as we continue to move on, then we find in verse 6 over in 2 Samuel, we find that it says that he came to David. Mephibosheth, he came to David. And so we find that here that he was brought before David, and he bowed down there at David's feet, and it said that he came to David. And so as we find here that we know that when he came, I'm sure that there was fear in his life, that he thought, man, this is it. I may be a cripple now, but now not only am I a cripple, but I'm going to be a dead man because I know the laws of the land, that I will be put to death. And so he began to be afraid of what was going to happen to him. But anyway, he was brought before David, but his life was about to be changed forever, just as your life had been changed here this morning if you've ever been born again into the family of God, how that your life had really been changed forever. But he had came to David, but then over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, as we begin to look into the scriptures, we find here that it says here in verse 28, it says, come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. But notice he says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we find that there, he says, come. The Bible says, come to him, all you that are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. And so as we find here that as the Lord was saying, come, we find here that Mephibosheth, how that he had went before David and how that he had kneeled down there because he was afraid of what was going to happen. But then he says, the Bible says that God says, I will give you rest. He says, you're heavy laden. You're burdened down with the problems of this world. And you're burdened down with troubles and trials. But he says, if you'll just come to me, he says, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. And, you know, back in the Bible days, and even a lot of times today, they'll harness up horses, you know, and hook plows up to them and things. My father-in-law, that's the way he plowed his garden a lot of times. But they would put that yoke upon those oxen. And sometimes those people that handle those oxen, if it didn't move the load that they wanted them to move, maybe they was cruel to that animal. Maybe they was cruel to that oxen, trying to beat it, maybe to get it to pull the load they wanted. But he said, just take my yoke upon you. He says, my burden's light. And so today, if you want to be released from all of those burdens that's just tumbling you to the ground, then you come to him and you take that yoke. And he says, I will give you rest. And so, but as we look here, he says, come unto me. And that's what Mephibosheth done when he came to David. But then we find that here, that over in John, it says that John the Baptist has said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then it said that here, that Andrew, he said that he went and got his brother Peter. He says, come and see the man that takes away the sins of the world. Come see the Savior of the world. And Peter had went. And then we find that Peter's name was changed, and how that he had met the Lord and his life was changed. But then we find that Philip, he also went to Nathanael. He says, we found the Messiah. We have found the Lord. And then here we find that Nathanael says, can any good thing come from Nazareth? We can find that that was the question that he had asked. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? And then what did Philip say to him? He says, just come and see for yourself. Just come and see the joy and true happiness. Come and experience what God can do for you. And so as we find that here, that's what I'm saying this morning. You may be troubled and you may be burdened down. You may be saved here this morning and you got troubles and trials in your life. Just come and experience God's grace once again. But if you're here and you're lost, just come and see for yourself what I'm talking about. If you want to experience the gift of God, you want to experience his love, then you come and see for yourself this morning. That's what Nathanael was told, and that's what I'm saying here this morning. Just come and see for yourself. You know, you may think that I'm a liar this morning, but I tell you, the Word of God is the truth. And whatever I say, but if you looked at this, this is the truth. And the Bible says, come and see and experience. As I said, you got the doorknob on the inside of your heart. You have to open up that heart this morning if you want to be born again. You got to make a choice here this morning. You can walk out this morning. You can walk out a saved person, or you can walk out a lost person. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, or if you've been in church all your life. Going to church does not save you. Going to church does not make you a Christian this morning. The Bible says you must be born again. And so then as we continue on, we find that not only did he come to David, but then in verse 8 over in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we find that he says, I'm a servant. He says, I come before you. And he says, why do you want to bless me? He says, I'm just a dog. That's what he said. He said, I'm just an old dirty dog. Why do you want me to come to your table here today? But we can find that. So he made a confession. He says here that I'm just a dog. I'm just nothing. My life is a low life. Why do you want me? And so a confession was made. And so we find that today the Bible says that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you find that here, that Mephibosheth, he said, I'm just an old dirty dog. I'm nothing. And, you know, that's what I had to confess. You know, I was just a kid, just a young child. But, you know, I still had sin in my life. I didn't go out and do drugs and things like that. But if I'd have died that night, before I got saved, I would have went to a place called hell. But you see, God had mercy upon me. And so I had to confess my sins, just like here that Mephibosheth says, you know, he made his confession to David. He said, I'm nothing. Why are you wanting to bless me? Why are you wanting to do this? And, you know, I ask God the same thing. I'm just a low life. God, why do you want to bless me? Why do you want to do this for me? Why did you die up on that old rugged cross? Why did you suffer these things? But it says, no greater love is this than a man lay down his life for a friend, because he loved me and he loves you. That's why that he done this today. So a confession was made. The prodigal son, he squandered all of his money. He left and he went out and squandered everything he had. But then he says, you know, I have nothing. He said, my life's miserable. He said, I had it made back home. And so then he says, I'm going to go back home. And he made a confession. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called my father's son. But he says, I'll just go back and be a servant. But what did the father do? The father said that he seen him coming, and he killed a fatted calf, and he welcomed his son back home. And I see that today that we have to make a confession And we have to confess with our mouth that, yes, we're sinners, and then with the heart believe. And then when we believe and they say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, and we ask him to come into our heart and life, then the Bible says that you can be born again. And so we find here that he made a confession. And then we find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we find that here that Mephibosheth, he found grace in the eyes of God. And so we can find that here that we found grace in the eyes of God. But Mephibosheth, as he went to David, David says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to restore all the land, all the property back to you. He says, and you're going to come and you're going to eat at my table. What grace and mercy was that from Mephibosheth? And we find that here that he found things. So today, you too can find grace in the eyes of God. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's just go ahead and look into the scripture. And you continue to pray as we find here, chapter 8 and verse 9. And then we find that here it says, for you know the grace of our God Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. But here we find that the grace of God, that he became poor so that we could become rich. By grace through faith are you saved. And so we find that here Mephibosheth, he found grace in the eyes of David. You too can find grace in the eyes of God. You can just say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. And then you can find this grace. You can find this love that he had and for us. And so as we continue to move on, we see the grace of God. And we can find that today, as a church, we can experience God's grace. But then we find that here that he received a new relationship. Over in John chapter 1 and verse 12, and we'll read it real quick. We find that here that Mephibosheth had came to David's table. And what did they say to Ziba? He says, he will be able to be as one of my sons, and he can come and eat at my table as one of my sons. So David more or less just adopted him, and he loved him enough to say he can eat at my table as one of my sons. I'm going to tell you here this morning, when you get born again, what happens? Let's look here in verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we find that here, that we become sons of God when we're born into the family of God. We find that Mephibosheth, he went to David's table, and here we find that he was to be blessed by David. And you too can be blessed and become sons of God. You know, as a father, a lot of times maybe there's people that has trouble in their home life. And, you know, I remember, and I've told you many times before, I remember as a little kid when I ran away from the children's home just as a small child, I went to my daddy's house, and he was there. And I got there at night, and I was just maybe 7 years old out hitchhiking trying to get home. And when I walked in the door, it was dark, and I was hungry, and I was tired. And you know what the first thing that my dad said to me? He says, what are you doing here? He says, you need to go back to the children's home. He says, I don't want you. That was my earthly father. You know, he had no concern for my life, had no concern for anything that was going on in my life. But I'm telling you what, my heavenly father, now that I become a son of God, I tell you, I'm blessed beyond measure here this morning. I'm blessed because of what God has done for me. I don't have a whole lot of money and I don't have a whole lot of wealth, but I can tell you one thing, I'm not miserable anymore, and I don't have no hatred in my heart for anything this morning. Because why? Because of what God had done for me a long time ago. He saved my soul. And I tell you, you too can become sons of God this morning if you'll just ask him to come into your heart and your life. And then as we continue to move on, before we close here in just a few moments, as we said, he found a new relationship. He become as of a son to David. But then we find that here that he began to dwell in Jerusalem. Here we find that he says, I want you to move right here, and you're going to be able to come to my table anytime that you want to. And he says, you come to Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? It means house of peace. And so we find that here that Mephibosheth, he was able for now to find peace. His life had been miserable. Maybe he had been in hiding from David, wanting to escape the wrath that was about to become him. And he was told here, he says, come to Jerusalem. We can find peace today. And, you know, I tell you, if you want peace here this morning, you can have a peace that passes all understanding, not peace that the world can give you, but a peace that God can fill. He can fill that voidness in your heart and your life. You may be troubled and burdened down here this morning, but I'm going to tell you, the peace that God can give you passes all understanding. I'm thankful for the peace that God had put in my heart and my life. And you can now dwell in Jerusalem. You can have peace in your heart and your life. And even as a Christian today, maybe you've stumbled and fell and you walked in this old world and you don't have the peace that you once had anymore in your heart and your life. As we said earlier, we need to be charged up just a little bit. You know, we need to be charged from God this morning. And I tell you, when you receive that electrical charge, I tell you, you can have that peace once again. All you've got to do is just say, God, restore that joy, restore that peace to me. If you're here and you're burdened down, no matter what trouble you got in your life, whether you be Christian or whether you be lost, God has the answer to everything in your life. And then as we find here, as we begin to close, the last thing was that he ate at the king's table. He was able to eat at the king's table. He was there and he come and ate at the king's table whenever he wanted to. And I can imagine that there was great food, a lot of feasting going on. He was able to go in and, I love to eat and I love to eat good food. But I find that Mephibosheth was able to go and he ate off the king's table. I'm going to tell you here this morning, we as Christians, we came and we were able to eat off the master's table this morning. I know that I'm no great preacher, and I know I'm sometimes stutter and clamor around with words, but it's not what I am, but it's what I am by the grace of God. And, you know, God is, this is God's word. It doesn't matter who preaches it, we need to reverence God's word. But we can come and eat off the king's table. Over in Revelation, the Bible says that we're one day going to be able to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm looking forward to that day that we all can go and be together with God here this morning. So as we look today, in just a few moments, we're going to pray. And Tom will come and give us a verse of invitation in just a moment. But before we pray, I would like to say, if you're here and you're lost this morning, I'll give you a special invitation. All you have to do is the Holy Spirit has to dwell and he has to begin to deal with your heart. And if you realize that you're lost and never been saved, then you must come and be born again. Because it's your decision. You know, deacons could come back and they could lead you to this altar. It wouldn't do no good. But if you're here and you're lost and you don't want to die and go to a place such called hell, then, you know, God can save you this morning. You must be born again. But if you're here as a Christian and you got trouble and trials in your life, you too can come. You can stay where you're at and kneel your head and just say, Lord, I need a touch from the Master's hand. You might need a touch today. But whatever the need is this morning, I cannot meet that need, but God can. So it's going to be up to you. And at this time, we're going to go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this great privilege that we have once again to come. And Lord, I know that you would not send this message this morning if there's not someone here that's lost. Lord, I hope and pray that they would just be obedient. Lord, that they won't be ashamed to come and to kneel at an altar. Lord, that they would say, Lord, I'm lost and I need to be saved. There's people here that would be willing to pray and lead them through. And Lord, if there's one here that's just as a Christian, that's burdened down. And maybe they just don't understand why that they seem that times is so dark in their life. Father, if they just need to come and kneel and pray, whatever the need may be, Lord, I know that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, we're thankful for this time that you've given us to come together. And Lord, now I pray that the Holy Spirit would do the conviction. And Lord, that we would see the mighty hand of God here at church this morning. Lord, we're thankful for everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do, and we just be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.